The same thing holds good regarding men as regarding things. A ship is said to be good, not when it is decorated with costly colors, nor when its prow is covered with silver or gold, or its figurehead embossed in ivory, nor when it is laden with the imperial revenues or with the wealth of kings, but when it is steady and staunch and taut, with seams that keep out the water, stout enough to endure the buffeting of the waves obedient to its helm, swift and caring not for the winds. You will speak of a sword as good, not when its sword belt is of gold, or its scabbard studded with gems, but when its edge is fine for cutting, and its point will pierce any armor. Take the carpenter's rule. We do not ask how beautiful it is, but how straight it is. Each thing is praised in regard to that attribute which is taken as its standard, in regard to that which is its peculiar quality. Therefore, in the case of man also, it is not pertinent to the question to know how many acres he ploughs, how much money he has out at interest, how many callers attend his receptions, how costly is the couch on which he lies, how transparent are the cups from which he drinks, but how good he is. He is good, however, if his reason is well ordered and right and adapted to that which his nature has willed. It is this that is called virtue. This is what we mean by honorable. It is man's unique good. For since reason alone brings man to perfection, reason alone, when perfected, makes man happy. This, moreover, is man's only good, the only means by which he is made happy. We do indeed say that those things also are goods, which are furthered and brought together by virtue, that is, all the works of virtue. But virtue itself is for this reason the only good, because there is no good without virtue. If every good is in the soul, then whatever strengthens, uplifts, and enlarges the soul is a good. Virtue, however, does make the soul stronger, loftier, and larger. For all other things, which arouse our desires, depress the soul and weaken it. And when we think that they are uplifting the soul, they are merely puffing it up and cheating it with much emptiness. Therefore, that alone is good which will make the soul better. All the actions of life, taken as a whole, are controlled by the consideration of what is honorable or base. It is with reference to these two things that our reason is governed in doing or not doing a particular thing. I shall explain what I mean. A good man will do what he thinks it will be honorable for him to do, even if it involves toil. He will do it even if it involves harm to him. He will do it even if it involves peril. Again, he will not do that which will be base, even if it brings him money or pleasure or power. Nothing will deter him from that which is honorable, and nothing will tempt him into baseness. Therefore, if he is determined invariably to follow that which is honorable, invariably to avoid baseness, and in every act of his life to have regard for these two things, deeming nothing else good except that which is honorable, and nothing else bad except that which is base, if virtue alone is unperverted in him, and by itself keeps its even course, then virtue is that man's only good, and nothing can thenceforth happen to it which may make it anything else than good. It has escaped all risk of change. Folly may creep upwards towards wisdom, but wisdom never slips back into folly. You may perhaps remember my saying that the things which have been generally desired and feared have been trampled down by many a man in moments of sudden passion. There have been found men who had placed their hands in the flames, men whose smiles could not be stopped by the torturer, men who had shed not a tear at the funeral of their children, men who would meet death unflinchingly. It is love, for example, anger, lust, which have challenged dangers. If a momentary stubbornness can accomplish all this when roused by some goad that pricks the spirit, how much more can be accomplished by virtue, which does not act impulsively or suddenly, but uniformly and with a strength that is lasting? It follows that the things which are often scorned by the men who are moved with a sudden passion and are always scorned by the wise are neither goods nor evils. Virtue itself is therefore the only good. She marches proudly between the two extremes of fortune with great scorn for both. If, however, you accept the view that there is anything good besides that which is honorable, all the virtues will suffer, for it will never be possible for any virtue to be won and held if there is anything outside itself which virtue must take into consideration. If there is any such thing, then it is at variance with reason, from which the virtues spring, and with truth also, which cannot exist without reason. Any opinion, however, which is at variance with truth, is wrong. A good man, you will admit, must have the highest sense of duty toward the gods. Hence, he will endure with an unruffled spirit whatever happens to him, for he will know that it has happened as a result of the divine law by which the whole of creation moves. This being so, there will be for him one good and only one, namely, that which is honorable. For one of its dictates is that we shall obey the gods and not blaze forth in anger at sudden misfortunes or deplore our lot, but rather patiently accept fate and obey its commands. If anything except the honorable is good, we shall be hounded by greed for life, and by greed for the things which provide life with its furnishings, an intolerable state, subject to no limits and unstable. The only good, therefore, is that which is honorable, that which is subject to bounds. I have declared that man's life would be more blessed than that of the gods, if those things which the gods do not enjoy are goods, such as money and offices of dignity. There is this further consideration.